Show.
The Mel Gedroych Podcast.
Hey, it's Mel G. This week on our little podcast, we're going to be talking about Hipster Santa, Frog and Chicken. They're the new Christmas single duo. And parcels and wrapping. Yeah, if you like that, then do have a listen to us every Saturday lunchtime from 1 on Magic. There will be more excellent chat and some fantastic songs thrown in for good measure. Mine's turned into a chicken.
I'm a frog.
Bush, that was very, very good timing. The syncopation between us was absolutely marvellous.
It was like a good offbeat thing going on there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's frog and chicken, isn't it?
Frog and chicken. Sideline.
Frog and chicken.
If you haven't got any entertainment plan for your Christmas party, staff Christmas party, frog and chicken, book us now. 666-555 chicken.
Do you know something, Bush? This is the absolute truth. And when I say that, you know it's going to be laced with a lot of embroidery and lies. No, this is the absolute truth.
Go on.
So this week, I heard from a friend who I haven't heard from for a bit. Haven't heard from him since summer, actually. He's been very busy. He has brought out a Christmas single.
Oh, wow.
Talking of frog and chicken, he's brought out a Christmas single.
Wouldn't it be amazing to have a Christmas single? I'd love to be famous for having a Christmas single.
Well, listen, frog and chicken. Yeah. Why not?
Let's do it.
Let's think of one right now.
What connects a frog and a chicken?
Christmas on the farm.
Yes, or they're both eaten by the French. Cut legs, maybe. But your mate that's got a song. Has he written the theme tune? Sung the theme tune?
Well, it's a really lovely song. He's a musical theatre friend. He's called Daniel Boys, and he's very, very popular on musical theatre scenes.
Yeah.
And he's written a song called Christmas Lullaby.
Ah, and is it a positive take on Christmas?
Very.
There's no sadness at its very core.
No, it's Daniel. Basically, he's gone a bit beardy, a little bit hipstery, a little bit sort of Santa for 2018.
Like a young hip Santa from Shoreditch or something like that.
A Shoreditch Santa.
Yeah.
So he's not white. It's sort of a lovely russet colour.
Slightly ironic. He's just finished baking his own sourdough.
Yes, exactly. He's finished the sourdough and he's basically wandering through the streets of London, sort of remarking on people, looking at people and singing in his beautiful voice.
Wow.
This song called Christmas Lullaby. And one of the favourite lyrics of mine in the song is I've written it down and I can't actually read it. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Hang on. It's something about snowflakes. Snowflakes ganging kit the ground on. Oh, no, it's not that.
It's not Gangnam Style, is it, by that Psy guy from Korea?
That was a Christmas song!
Was it really?
Hang on, was it?
I'm not sure if that was. If it was, that'd be brilliant.
I think it went through Christmas. Listen, we'll discuss Christmas singles a little bit more after a bit of, come on, another Christmas song.
Wow.
We're all about the Christmas bushy for the next 4 weeks. Yeah, man!
Yeah.
Check out that percussion. It's the 1st of December. The big news is we are going 100% Christmas bush.
Do you know what? I've got news for you, Mel. The rest of Magic. Magic's going 100% Christmas. You and I, let's go 110% Christmas.
Should we do that?
Let's do it.
Should we do that?
Let's go beyond the pale.
Nick Snaith, he's 100%.
Yeah.
Angie Greaves, she's
100%. 100%.
Ronan and Harriet, they're 100%.
All the others, they're 100% as well.
I've just repeated what you said, Bush.
110%.
I just slightly emphasised in an annoying way what you said.
I like that, though. 110%, let's do it.
Do you know what? So we've been talking about this idea of releasing one Christmas song. Mm-hmm. You know, About a Boy, that lovely film with my favourite Hugh Grant.
Superb film.
Oh,
lovely soundtrack as well.
I love it. And Nicholas Holt's so brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all about, the story is about Hugh Grant's character, Will, whose dad wrote the Christmas single and he's lived off that and he's never done anything with his life.
Wow, but he was unable to live off the proceeds of a Christmas single.
Right, Bush, Frog and Chicken, mate. We've got to literally sit down and write the number one single.
We should do it. What's your mate called who's got the song out?
Daniel Boys.
Has he got any availability on the B side? Do they still do B-sides for songs? Because I wonder if we could probably put a track together, get it on the B-side.
Shall I ask him?
Yeah, just say...
Shall I ask him?
We just need that leg up, that bunk up to the next level.
I'm loving the idea of Daniel Boys as the hipster Santa from Shoreditch.
Yeah.
It's very good.
He'll choose you a brilliant Christmas present because his elves are working on it, and he'll fix your fixed gear bicycle at the same time. That's just how he rolls.
And in his sack, he'll have presents like beard oil.
Beard oil, yeah.
And a sort of a subscription to the Idler magazine.
Yeah, and a thumbs up Jesus.
Yes!
Yeah, so ironic.
And sourdough materials.
All the stuff you need for making sourdough, which incidentally, if you ever get trained to do it, takes about 3 months if you want to have a loaf.
Matey, we had a sourdough disaster.
Now, did you?
That's a first world problem if ever I've heard one. We tried to make some, mate, with a gone off apple. You know, you put something live in and it goes off.
Mm-hmm.
Not anything. It's not roadkill.
No.
It was an apple that went off quite badly.
Yeah.
We thought, right, let's make a sourdough. Mate, it was absolutely appalling. The loaf ended up like a piece of cement that has not dried.
Oh, my. Like rock hard.
No, not dried.
Oh.
Wet.
Flappy, sloppy. The direct opposite of rock hard.
I love you, bud.
I got obsessed with cement.
I absolutely love you.
But I tried to make sourdough and it was just, it took so long.
You know, on these,
sorry about
on
that,
these
but...
baking shows that they have these days on the television.
So over that.
So over that. But they kind of say, oh, it's really easy. It really isn't.
It isn't. I don't like anything where if you want to have just a slice of toast on Saturday, you need to start preparing things on Monday.
Or 5 months before.
Ridiculous.
Isn't it?
It is.
Putting things straight for Christmas here. It's Mel G on Magic with the Mighty Bush. More great 100% Christmas music coming
110.
Up this.
110.
110. 110. Yeah, ma'am. 100% Christmas. 110%
Christmas. 110%
Christmas. All the time. Every track.
Like, not even... We're not switching off with this whole Christmas thing, even if we're, like, asleep. We're still 110% Christmas.
But isn't that amazing, though, mate? I've just suddenly thought. The whole of Magic has gone Christmas, Lulu, Lala, Cuckoo Land.
Yes.
The whole station is playing Christmas music the whole time. Are there enough Christmas songs?
Well, this
there
is
must
it.
Be.
I think they've cast their net quite wide. So you're going to get some cool cover versions and stuff you might not have heard before, some big band things.
Nice.
And we've gone quite early on the decorations. What day are you? Do you normally put the decorations up in your house?
Well, you see, we're getting our tree this afternoon.
Ooh,
after the show.
Lovely.
We've ordered it from via the school bazaar.
Okay.
And we have to go to the man who has them in his boot. We did it last year. He's a lovely man.
Big Tree Tony.
Big Tree Tony. And we go and we take our... We've got an 8-footer this year.
Whoa.
We've gone a bit nuts.
That's pretty big, isn't
and
it?
And that's not going to fit in his boot, so I am worried about Fat Tree Tony. Why did I call him Fat Tree Tony?
Fat Tree Tony.
Oh, he's not fat. Oh, no, that's awful.
He's just Big Tree Tony.
Big Tree Tony.
But he's a big lad as well, so...
But Big Tree Tony, I'm worried about how he's going to fit that.
We've gone for a fakie for the first time ever.
Well, as you well know, at this time of year, Bush, we have words, you and I. I need to discuss with you what is going on with your Christmas decorations, Bush. That will be after this. We will discuss after a little bit more Christmas music. 100% Christmas music. That, my friends, is my favourite ever Christmas song with all the stars in Christmas Charity. Song, it was the best ever. Although it did annoy me. I might have told you this before, Bushy, but you probably glazed over.
No.
It always slightly annoyed me in that song that Sting got the line, the bitter sting of tears. And I figured he asked for that line specifically because it had his own name in.
Oh, yeah, it's like, well, look, I'm Sting. By rights, I should be singing that bit. Maybe he took it off someone else.
I don't want to say this out loud, but I'm going to. Did he possibly think that he would somehow push himself a little bit more forward in the line of the gang by having the bitter sting of tears line?
Just because he's got his name in it?
Yes!
Oh, this is, you'd think as a group enterprise, charity and all that, it's not a time for self-promotion, is it, Sting?
Well, let's not, you know, he's a good man, I'm sure. He's a very, very good man.
And very quickly, during the course of this week, you've been recording an album of your company play that you're in.
Yeah.
Which I came to see that was amazing.
Oh, Bushy, thanks.
If we, out of all the people who were recording it, who were you in the Band-Aid type style during the recording the other day?
Oh, that's a great question.
Which one were you, Mel?
I think I was probably Siobhan Pahi. Off of, what was the name of the group? Bananarama.
Yes.
Because in a way, I probably had the least to do. which was a blessing.
No offence, Siobhan.
And no offence, Siobhan. But they didn't do that much. Did they have a solo line?
I don't know if they did.
I don't think they even did.
They were just at the back with impeccable hair.
And amazing dungas.
Really good dungas.
Oh.
That's all you need. All you need is dungas.
And actually, Ledge of Ledge always reminds me of Christmas music in itself. It's, as we've said before, it's huskies kind of bowling down a hill in some kind of Dr. Zhivago-esque Christmas scene.
It's buying a pork sandwich in a local...
hut.
In a local hut. In a provincial town with its pop-up Christmas market.
Pop-up Christmas.
Right in the centre of a really grim pedestrianised bit. In
Leatherhead.
Leatherhead or Yate. Somewhere like that.
We have one. We have a very similar one where I live locally. And I love it and I respect it.
I love it. I love those things.
Yeah, but it looks very out of place.
It does. It looks like it's been dropped from Mars.
There, and no one's there.
No, strange, isn't it?
Good. Listen, it's Mel G on Magic. It's Saturday afternoon. It's time for Ledger of Legend, which is our special book. It is real. I have it in my hand. Every week we like to write in it, and Bush does an amazing drawing in it of something which we think is very unsung in life in general.
Give it a big up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got one with a Christmassy theme today, Bushy.
Love it.
Now, it's a bit hipster Father Christmas. It's a bit Daniel Boy's Santa.
Yeah.
It's brown paper and string.
Oh.
It's a little bit of a hipster take on Christmas. It's like, move away from the gaudy foil.
Okay.
Move away from the glitter. Just do up your presents in brown paper and string.
I've always been envious of people who can wrap stuff like that, because I'm terrible at wrapping, really, really bad.
That surprises me, Bush.
Really?
Yeah, because your drawing is so amazing and neat, and you're such a draftsman.
Oh, well, thank you very much. But when it comes to wrapping stuff, it's my Achilles heel. Can't do it at all.
I'm going to say
you're pretty good.
Yeah. I'm really, really fussy about it.
In fact, your Christmas presents last year to us were impeccably
Thank
wrapped.
Thank you very much.
To the point where it's almost like you'd asked a concierge to do it for you.
It's hospital corners, mate.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
I like the idea of a concierge. I like the idea that you think I have one.
It'd be good if you did.
Oh, I'd love one. Brown paper and string, please, my love, in the words of Julie Andrews in Sound of Music. It all links beautifully with Christmas. That's what we're putting in the Ledger of Ledge. We'll come back to you very, very shortly after this. Ah, the dulcet tones of Michael Bublé. Thanks, Bushy.
I really enjoyed that.
Thanks so much.
If I was him, I would do my own line of baubles, because it's in your surname.
I'd have a Christmas album called Bublé.
Completely.
I mean,
I'm Michael Bublé, and here are my top 10 baubles.
Is he Canadian?
Where is he from? Is he Canadian? He is Canadian.
Is he?
Ah.
That was a very good Canadian accent.
Absolutely impeccable Canadian accent.
I love the way they say house. My house. Come to my house.
My name's Michael Bublé. Welcome to my house.
That wasn't so good.
That wasn't so good. I should have quit when I was ahead.
Bushy, I asked you to draw for our Ledger of Ledge, brown paper and string, and you have done tremendously well. And interestingly enough, you say you can't rap a prezi very well, but you can draw a wrapped prezi extremely well.
Thank you. That's how I would like to wrap. That's genuine. That's what I would call aspirational wrapping.
Yeah,
do you know what I do? I put it in tinfoil.
Oh, do you?
I can't
that's
wrap,
clever.
So I just put things in tinfoil.
Because then you just sort of, you'd smooth it. You don't have to do any of the hospital corners.
Yeah.
That's amazing, mate.
It looks like a bit of a cry for help when you give someone presents like that. But
looks like sandwiches, just loads and loads of sandwiches. Do you know what the most difficult thing to wrap in paper is?
Go on.
Anything conical.
Oh, really?
Really, really difficult. What do you do with the surplus at the top, the small end of the cone?
Yeah.
And what do you do with the surplus at the large end?
I generally tend to make it into just a one big giant cracker.
You see,
which doesn't look good.
No, that to me is a lazy person's fool's errand.
Can your husband wrap? Do you do all the wrapping in your house? Does he do any wrapping?
He does all of his on Christmas Day, mate.
Always
it really, really stresses me out.
Brinkmanship of the highest Christmas order there.
He'll disappear at some key moment, like when the stuffing is coming to, you know, coagulation point.
Yeah.
And then he'll say, I'm going to go and wrap my presents, and he'll be 2 hours. It really bugs me.
Oh, the absolute front of him.
I know.
I like it. I'm impressed with his brinkmanship, though. Have you ever had to borrow someone's shoes?
Sorry, I've literally just found a mince pie. I know. Can I just have a quick bite?
Have it. I don't know how you've not sat there and not eaten it.
Oh, God.
I love mince pies. Mm. Would you normally heat them up in the oven and then put like cream and stuff with them?
Oh, my God.
It's almost
God.
A waste if you don't, isn't it?
That's really, really good.
Really, really good.
I don't like a puff mince pie.
Come on, that's a bit harsh.
I don't like a puff mince pie, though, do you?
I love all types of mince pies.
I like a short crust.
Really? Mm. Have you ever made mince pies?
Mm. Yes, I make them every year.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. I'll bring some in.
Mm. I bet you do a mean mince pie.
I've got to confess something, though.
Go on.
I don't make my own pastry.
Oh, yeah. Who can be bothered to make their own pastry?
I buy the pre-rollout stuff. Is that really bad?
No. I remember buying one of those Jamie Oliver Cook a Meal in 30 Minutes books, and he said, I don't even bother making my own pastry.
You're joking.
He says, get it in, buy it in, cut out the middleman.
Because I think homemade pastry, there's something very, very special about that.
Yeah, I just no good at doing it.
What was the question again? I'm so sorry. Have I ever worn anyone else's shoes?
Have you had to borrow someone's shoes?
Yeah. Every time I go to anything vaguely sort of high-end, I wear my sister's shoes. They're black stilettos and they're two sizes too big.
Really? You borrow her shoes for an event?
I've sort of got them now. They're kind of mine. I haven't given them back.
Just held on to them.
She gets really annoyed because she calls my feet the horny stubs.
Really?
Yeah, because they're I've got very slightly bunion-y, nasty feet and they're very wide. So if I wear her shoes, I just go... And I make her shoes really wide so she doesn't want them back.
Do you know, my mum's feet have got legendary status in our family because each of her little toes is like a hook. You know, that kind of for wearing
calloused
female shoes for donkey's years.
Yeah.
That could just happen.
Oh, Geraldine, she needs to get those sorted, doesn't she?
Get them sorted. Hopefully that hasn't put you off your mince pie.
No, I'm going to have another bite.
Look at that. Not bothered.
That's a jaunty one, isn't it?
Isn't it?
I love that one. Now... Foul,
boom,
foul,
boom.
Down the staircase, leg kick, high kick, jazz hands, here we come, baubles.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Oh, I love the down the staircase bit.
Oh, so.
And we apologise if you live on a single floor building, like maybe you live in a bungalow. Just go around a friend's house and we'll play the song again next week. Just give us three rings, let us know you're ready.
Oh, it's Mel G here on Magic, the mighty Bush. It is contractual, Bush. How's your week been?
Oh, thank you for asking, Mel. My week has been boxing.
Oh, boxing, I have boxing presents?
Do you know what? No, not boxing presents. I've been inspired by you learning jiu-jitsu for Company, the musical.
Stop it.
And I've decided to sign myself up for boxercise.
Now, tell me everything. I'm already obsessed and I'm not going to lie, a little bit jealous.
I love it.
Whenever you take up a new sport, I get slightly livid and a bit jealous. I don't know why, Bush.
Is it FOMO, fear of missing out?
Yes, it's FOMO.
It's a bit of FOMO.
Yeah. Go on.
Do you know when we did the show from backstage last weekend?
Yeah.
On your desk, you had a book which I forgot to talk about during the course of the show, but I was a bit obsessed with it. It was like this old book of jiu-jitsu.
From the 60s.
It's amazing.
Actually, it might even be from the 40s.
I love how you can learn jiu-jitsu from a book.
I know.
Which is a great thing.
The pictures in it are extraordinary.
There's some good rolling around and stuff like that. But I thought, do you know what, I'd love to do some form of... I don't want to do football anymore because I keep getting injured and moan about it. And you've told me off on the show for moaning.
I know.
So I thought I would do some form of other keep fit thing. And it's boxer size.
Right, tell me everything. Is it in a class situation? Is it one-to-one? Have you got a punch bag?
A punch bag, no. There's a guy called Kevin who's training me. Kevin Cowdery is my Mr. Miyagi. He's got little pads like that, and then I just punch the pads as hard as I can. It's just me and him.
Does he come to the house?
He doesn't. We go to a local gym. We go to a local gymnasium.
Oh, I love it, Bush.
And it's so much fun, honestly. You know when you suddenly get taken with something, you just think, wow.
Yeah.
And you learn a skill as well, which is great.
So you're doing hooks, uppercuts.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? Hook, uppercuts.
Cuts.
Slice? No.
Slicey, punchy. There's a bit where you go down onto like almost squat and then go punch, 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 punch.
Oh, it is really good exercise.
It's so tiring. Even just punching
really
for like
tiring.
30
really.
Seconds.
And are you doing the legs as well? Are you doing the... has he got the big pads out and you bring the knees up?
Oh, no, not doing any kicks. I'd like to do kicks, though. Do you do kicks in jiu-jitsu?
No, I don't know. Jiu-jitsu is more about... It's more like wrestling, isn't it?
A bit like rolling around on the floor and stuff.
Yeah, and you keep the stance. It's all very anchored and solid.
But what I'm saying is, it's made me quite a tough guy. So I now, if there's any trouble, you get into any dust-ups, Mel?
I need to discuss this. Let's have a bit of music, and I need to hear more about this. That's nice, isn't it? The mushroom things... No, not the mushrooms. Marshmallows are roasting.
The mushrooms are roasting.
And my little toes are toasting.
Monkey is next door.
And then we're going coasting. Why is the monkey next door, mate? What's going on?
I don't know. I like the idea of him living next door to like a family of monkeys.
Do you?
It's like maybe he lives in a treehouse or something like that.
What, like a little monkey with the golden symbols?
Yeah, and a fez. And it does flips.
Oh, they're scary.
Shh, shh, shh.
I don't like those.
Don't you?
Surely they appear in horror films.
Yeah, they're the things that carry on moving when there's like a flash of lightning.
Yeah.
That'd be a horrible present. Do not get anyone that for Christmas.
No, really, really don't.
Just don't do that.
That would be very, very hard to wrap as well, Bush. You wouldn't like that.
I can't even think how you would wrap that.
I think you'd have to... Sorry about that. I'm sorry about that. Just slightly belched.
You've had a couple of little rumbles during the course of the show, haven't
you? It's Christmas, mate.
Fair enough.
I've started eating too early, but December the 1st.
You haven't touched the mince pie that I've put in front of you?
No, I'm not going to eat that till later, Bush.
Are you going to take it with you?
I'm going to take it with me. On my little outing to get the Christmas tree from Big Tree Tony.
Oh, Big Tree Tony. Good lad.
Yeah. My mum had a terrible thing happen once at Christmas. It was awful involving a Christmas tree. We were putting up the tree and a branch pranged into her eye. Ooh. She had to go to A&E.
Oh, no.
It was awful. She had a patch on her eye for Christmas.
Imagine being injured by Christmas.
There are many Christmas injuries, my friend.
I imagine a lot of people do come a cropper whilst going up the top, you know, say put the angel on top of your tree or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Electrocution by lights.
Yeah.
Oh, there's loads of accidents at Christmas. But let's not focus on those today.
Let's not focus on those, but let's just say, just be careful.
Be very, very careful out there, definitely. Listen, more great music coming up next. Brian Harvey followed by Mariah Carey.
Wow, two unlikely bedfellows.
I'd like to see them in a chicken cottage.
Imagine that. I'd love to see that.
Sharing a little wing or two.
That'd be so good, wouldn't it?
It'd be great.
Pass the chilli sauce, why don't you, Brian?
It would be great. If Frog and Chicken are impromptu, sort of slightly tromboning, trumpeting Christmas duo, were to release a single, quite seriously, Bush, let's have a day in a studio, and what are we going to come out with?
Well, I think we should follow the lead of one of my favourite Christmas songs of all time, the Frog Chorus.
Oh, was that a Christmas song?
That was a Christmas song.
Was it?
I think it was.
No, it's not that, is
that's,
it? We played that at the beginning of the ruddy show.
That's...
What's the Frog Chorus? How does that go?
Bum, 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 ba-dee-ya. Bum, 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 ba-dee-ya.
Is it Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney?
No, it's just Paul McCartney,
just Paul McCartney. Okay, right, come
Jackson on. Jackson wanted it, and McCartney said, no, I'm having this one. You ruined... that's a different song. Oh, God. You ruined The Girl Is Mine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes.
I think Frog and Chicken should do...
Sorry. Producer James got his head in his hands.
What's happened to us, mate? We often get like this at the end of the year, don't we?
We do. Just start to go a bit ragged.
It all frays around the edges.
Can't think of any names of anything.
Of anything at all.
Literally, it'd be lucky if we could get home tonight.
I know. Where do I live?
What's my name again?
Frog and Chicken, though. Yeah. I think we could do a jolly sort of song about the chicken being worried that it's going to be eaten at Christmas... And the frog saying, come and stay with me on my lily pad and you'll be safe from those meat eaters that eat you at Christmas.
What a lovely fairy tale type thing that would be. Isn't that so
Does that
nice?
Work?
Yeah, I love the idea of the frog's got a lovely lily pad there. It's got a nice water feature around the outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, come and live with me. It's fine.
Yeah, we'll do that then.
Yeah, watch this space for the debut album.
It'll be a cover of a Motley Crue song.
I'd love that.
Good. Now, listen, it's Mel G on Magic here with the Mighty Bush, slightly unravelling. It's Christmas. It does that to us. Hope you're having a fantastic weekend. On the way, more of the Christmas songs you love just around the corner. Right, Bushy.
Yeah.
How do you feel about ball ponds?
I've never been asked that question before in my entire life. A ball pond? As in like a pond full of plastic balls that you can dive into? When would I ever come across one of these things?
Matey, you have a small baby.
Uh-huh.
In a matter of, I would say, 14 months, you are going to be living in ball ponds.
Oh, you mean soft play?
Mate, awful.
My eldest daughter, memory has just come flooding back. I'd forgotten about soft play.
Matey, you are heading into 6 years of soft play very, very soon. It's a horrendous thought.
It's all flooding back to me now. Overly hot, no mobile phone reception, newspaper from 2 days ago.
Smell of wee,
terrible lattes.
Matey, I'm surprised you can even get a latte.
Yeah, it was the worst thing I've ever tasted in my life. And then there's always a big kid that turns up. You're like, you've got your three-year-old knocking around, then there's a lad in like a denim coat who appears to be 15. Why is he in the ball pit?
In a hoodie.
Get Boris Becker out of there. He looks like him.
I'll never forget taking my eldest daughter to a party. I can't actually even talk about this. It was so horrendous. It was so loud and so hot. It was attached to a shopping centre.
Oh, the worst.
And she got stuck three floors up. Muggins had to go into the whole... awful,
assault
torturous,
course.
Like a zoo assault course thing. and go up and get her through tiny holes.
Oh, it's awful, isn't
it? I was openly swearing.
It's such a leveller, isn't it? You can think you're quite nimble, but if you try and climb up through any form of soft play to retrieve a child, it makes you feel like gravity's tripled.
And they always get a bug. Why do we put them in there? They always come out with some kind of horrible gastroenteritis.
Make it stop.
Oh, man. So I'm gathering that your views on the ball pond is not positive.
I'm going to need psychotherapy after this. Thank you for bringing that one back up.
Oh, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Hear more fun like that every Saturday lunchtime from 1 on Magic.
The Mel Gedroych Show. The Mel Gedroych Podcast.